Now, I'll bring you back to Saturday, December 22nd, 1979. 23-year-old Phyllis Murphy disappeared on that day. She'd been doing her Christmas shopping for her family in Newbridge in County Kildare, and she was last seen going to a bus stop to get the bus from Newbridge to Kildare town, and that was about 6:30 that Saturday evening. Phyllis's body was found on January the 18th, which was 28 days later, in the new year, 1980. 30 miles away, her body was found in a wooded area in the Wicklow Gap. Phyllis's sister, Barbara, joins me now in studio. How are you doing, Barbara?
I'm fine, thank you.
So it's Barbara Turner Nee Murphy, as they say down the country.
Yeah.
Do you think about Phyllis every day?
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, she's in our thoughts all the time. You know, especially when we get together and we talk about her nearly as if she's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What sort of woman was she?
Well, she was very, she was quiet in some ways, but still she was full of life. And she loved children.
Yeah.
She always wanted to bring children out in their prams.
Had she talked about having children herself, for example?
Of course. Yes. She would have definitely had children.
Yeah.
And
is that something you think about? You know, I suppose as you go through milestones in your own life, you probably go, Phyllis would be this age. What age would she be now?
She'd be coming up to 65 right. now. She'd probably be a granny.
Yeah.
And all. It's hard to, because in our minds, she's still 23. Okay.
Where did she work?
She worked in knitwear factory when she disappeared, she was in Newbridge.
Right.
But she had worked in Monastrevin as well.
Right. And what capacity was she? Was she a four person? Was she in a position of authority?
No, she was a cutter.
A cutter, right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was a responsible enough job, wasn't it?
It was responsible, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, she loved her job and she loved her friends and she got on so well with all her friends. She was that type of person and she loved looking after people, and she went to Lourdes to look after special needs people. She was just always looking after people, yeah.
Was she a sensible person?
Very sensible. Yeah. We called her Granny. She was so sensible.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And she got a perm that day.
Yes, that was the first time she ever got a perm. So.
And why did she get a perm that particular day?
Because it was coming up to Christmas and it was just coming into fashion.
Right.
And I'd say she was very excited trying to get home to show off the perm.
Yeah. How many was in the family?
There was 10 that time, yeah.
Yeah.
We found another brother afterwards, years after.
We'll come to that later on.
Yeah.
You were the eldest.
I was the eldest.
And your mum died when you were 16. So you probably, a bit like Christy Moore yesterday, you took on an awful lot of responsibility.
Well,
did you?
I had to take over completely.
Yeah.
But I think my mother had me sort of ready for it. Because she was always delicate and she always had something wrong. I think she knew she wouldn't live to be old.
Okay, right.
So I was always doing things anyway.
I suppose you're thankful that she wasn't around to see what happened to Phyllis.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It would have killed her altogether.
Who was the last person to see Phyllis alive?
I think it was my brother. My brother that's in Australia because she babysat for him the night before.
Yeah.
And on the way home then she called in to him then.
Right. Because in the documentary it says that she went to visit...
Oh, she went to visit the Lucas after that.
Yes, yeah. So
because she was meeting Barbara that night.
Another Barbara.
Yeah, right. For the dance.
Right.
And she just called in to her mother. Barbara wasn't there, but she had a chat with the mother. The mother came out to the gate with her to see her off.
So here was a young woman, 23, got the hair permed, had spent her wages on buying presents for her family.
That's right.
Was looking forward to going to a dance in the CY Hall in Kildare. And she'd gone over across the road. It would have been the main road from Dublin to Cork, Limerick, through Newbridge.
Yes, and it was just across from Cadian Hotel.
Yeah, people know that road.
Yes.
Yeah. And she was waiting there for the bus, the 6:30 bus, but she never got on it.
She never got on it.
How did you find out that she was missing?
Well, we were at home because we were only after moving into our house and we were doing the central heating. So we weren't out that night and somebody called to just tell us. We hadn't phones or anything that time, but someone called up to say Phyllis never came home. So I didn't take it too serious then, but later on the night when there's still no sign, we knew then. We knew straight away there was something wrong.
Right. Because it was out of character?
Oh, totally out of character.
And then the next day then, Sergeant Kevin Duran, he would have been the local sergeant, and one of your brothers went up to say that Phyllis was missing.
Yeah. He went up to report her missing. And they put it on the radio then. They used to put missing people. But there was nothing much about it because it was only a missing person, really.
Okay, yeah.
But on Christmas Day then, we all went, well, not us, but the boys, the men in the family, went out searching.
And, of course, the wide expanse of the Curragh Plains is between Uxbridge and Kildare.
That's right, yes.
So that's a big area to search.
It is, yeah. But we were concentrating, I don't know why, but the lads were concentrating around near the chilling factory.
Okay, right.
And it's funny that they did pick on that spot because afterwards we discovered there was a couple of things found there.
And one of the things found was one of her gloves, and in the glove was the bus fare.
Bus fare.
Right.
Definitely. But that wasn't there Christmas Day.
Right, okay. So they were searching and searching. They found bits and pieces on the Curragh. And, like, it was a huge search. Like, how many people do you reckon were searching at its height?
There was thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, there was busloads even came from Dublin. And I remember Hal Conway came every day and picked
Conway,
up everybody to bring them out searching.
Yeah.
And
just for people who wouldn't know, Hal Conway was the local bus operator.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the civil defence from Monastrevan, they were the first to go out before the guards got in on it at all.
Yeah.
Because some of them worked with Phyllis.
Right.
And they went searching.
Searching and searching.
Yeah.
What was going through your head now at home when all this was going on?
Well, I actually went searching, went to houses and didn't realise that it was 2 o'clock in the morning because time meant nothing. Going with a photograph, asking people around Old Kilcullen and that because we had been to a diviner.
Right.
And he said Old Kilcullen.
So this is the
type
of person.
So we thought we were going to find her.
Right, right, okay. So he had said that she was alive.
He said she was alive.
Right, yeah. But you'll grasp at anything, won't you?
Oh, of course.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So the searching continued, and for some reason, which I don't know, and you probably don't know the answer either, the Gardaí at the time extended their search into Wicklow.
It was heading towards Wicklow.
Yes, right.
Until they were turned back one morning. And nobody knows who turned them back.
Right.
And they went back to the Curragh. And I think that's when the gloves were found.
Found, right, okay.
So somebody obviously didn't want them going near Wicklow.
Wicklow. But then on the 18th of January, you got the news, and it was sort of bittersweet because, you know, up until that, Phyllis was a missing person.
Yes, it was good, really, because at least we knew.
Right.
And we sort of celebrated in a way, but then it was a big downer then when we realised the consequences and what happened to her.
Yeah.
And it was only afterwards, really afterwards, we realised how bad it was and how many injuries she had and everything that happened to her, you know. But that, I suppose a lot of that didn't get through to us at the inquest.
Isn't that sort of mad that you would, you know, that would be cause for celebration, finding a dead body.
Oh.
But that was the nature of what was going on because so many people were searching. And I suppose in your heads, the goal was to find her.
Well, we wanted to find her.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very hard going to bed at night in the warm bed, wondering where was she lying in the cold.
Yeah.
And we knew she was lying somewhere in the cold.
And it was a particularly cold winter.
Oh, it was very cold, very frosty altogether.
And that influenced, in, you know, 20 years on, the case, because poor Phyllis's body was preserved in the snow.
That's right, yeah. It was preserved and the DNA was preserved. So it all worked out well.
Yeah. So your brothers informed you that she'd been found and you asked about it and they said she was clothed and it turned out that you heard on the news on RT1 that she'd been found naked and she'd been strangled and she'd been raped and it was horrific.
Yeah.
And I suppose after the initial buzz of her being found, then you have to deal with, you know, what it was like for her in her final moments.
And what really happened to her. Yeah. That was very hard to take.
Mm. Yeah, that's a haunting thing, isn't it?
It is. It's dreadful.
Yeah.
Especially to see it on the paper, see it all in writing. I know that had an awful effect on me when I read it.
Yeah. And I suppose journalists have to report these things.
Of course. Yes, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't have reported. It has to be reported.
Yeah.
It's like when my brother tried to tell us she had all her clothes on.
Yeah, so he was protecting you from the truth.
He was protecting us because...
Yeah. And your dad, your poor dad, that was, you know, he never recovered really from it, did he?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Definitely not. I mean, it's bad enough, you know, when it happens to a sibling, but when it happens to your own child,
okay,
he couldn't handle it at all.
So then you were chatting among yourselves, you were chatting to the Gardaí, and we've established already that Phyllis was a sensible woman, which led you to believe that she would never get into a car of a stranger.
No, so, we knew that.
Yes. So then whoever had done this...
Yes.
Who would perpetrate this horrific murder was known to her.
Well, we were 100% sure of that.
Yeah.
Now there was no doubt in the world that she would never have got in with a stranger. Because she was very fussy about that.
Mm.
She would never thumb a lift. Because that time people did.
Walk all the time.
All the time, yeah. But she never would. And she always told her friends not to do it.
Yeah.
You know, she even told them, I'll give you the money for the bus, but don't.
Hitch.
Yeah.
So if she knew the person, then you probably knew the person.
Well, we knew that.
Yeah.
And that was scary, really.
Yeah. Now, I'm from Kildare. I was 15 when all this was going on. I was unaware that, you know, the details of it.
I don't know why.
It was
not
a different
at
15, world. Yes.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. Because I suppose she was 8 years older than me and, you know, so wasn't really on my radar.
It goes over your head at 15.
It does, at 15,
anyway.
Yes. Well, a good thing that it does, I suppose.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So the Gardaí then go about questioning and they questioned every man of a certain age with a car.
They did, yeah. They were very thorough.
And I saw they took 50 blood samples.
That's right, yeah. That's the 50 that they kept, yes.
They kept, yeah. But they came up with nothing.
No.
How did you feel about that?
Well, we understood because at that time, back then, the samples, blood samples, could only eliminate somebody.
Right.
So there was a lot more samples, I'd say, but they got eliminated.
Aha. Right. Okay. So they knew from the semen sample that the person had a certain blood type, probably.
That's it.
And then they could eliminate.
Yeah, and they had to wait until
1998
to get the DNA, you know, for the advancement there.
Through all of those years, nearly 20 years, like that must have been horrific. Like, for example, if you were in the local pub or shop or whatever, looking around and a man came in, did it cross your mind that he's the man who could have killed my sister?
Not really, because the way we felt, we didn't honestly think, even though we knew it had to be someone we knew, but we couldn't visualise someone that we knew that could be a murderer.
Okay.
You just couldn't think that
right,
way.
Yes, okay, right.
You know.
Probably for you to maintain your sanity.
Oh, well, of course, yeah. But I suppose the fact that we had her and we found her and we knew where she was, if she'd still been missing, that's horrific.
Well, I'm thinking about people that we've spoken to, the Dealeys.
Yeah.
And the Jacobs, and the Dallards.
That's hell.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bad as it is with us. At least we know where she is.
She is, yeah. And speaking of Deirdre Jacob, as a result of her going missing then, they set up Operation Trace. And Phyllis's case was sort of put into that. So it was never closed, but there was renewed interest in it.
Yeah, it was never really closed.
Yeah.
And we made sure it wasn't, because any chance we got, we gave interviews and we kept it going so they wouldn't forget. We were afraid to forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I know that wasn't the case, because I know for a fact her photograph was, to the very end, it was in Naas Garda Station.
Always
they
there.
Never forgot about her.
Yeah. And Finn Barmack Paul, there's a man.
Oh, gosh.
So he kept the samples both from Phyllis's body and from the 50 people who'd given blood. And he had them locked away in a filing cabinet in the Garda Station in Kildare.
Oh, he really looked after them with his life.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, and they could so easily have gone missing, couldn't they?
Very easily.
Because I'd say in the meantime, the Garda Station moved, didn't it?
They did, yeah. But he made sure.
Right.
He was a fantastic man.
And then there was a man called McArdle who would have been in Naas Garda Station at the time
Brendan
of Phyllis's disappearance.
Yeah.
And he was now working up in HQ. And,
yes.
And he was aware that the new DNA testing may have been an opportunity to shed more light on Phyllis's case.
And he went to England himself. He wouldn't even send them.
Oh, right, he went. Right.
He brought them on his person.
Okay. So then, because of all of that, John Crear's name came up. What did you feel when you heard his name?
Well, we did know him. He wouldn't have been a personal friend of mine now or that. But we knew him, and, well, at least we had a name then
that we could. Had Phyllis babysat for him?
She had, yeah. A couple of my sisters had babysat, yeah, because they were friends of some of the family.
Yeah.
You know, Kildare was small and everyone knew each other.
There was only, around then, there was probably 5,000 people max.
Yeah,
and everybody knew
different
everybody.
Different times.
I'm just wondering, over those 20 years, had you been in his company that you know of?
No.
Right.
Probably would have maybe seen him, but no way.
Yeah. So he was arrested in 1999, charged with Phyllis's murder. And then went to court in the early 2000s.
2002, yeah.
Yeah. And you were there every day.
We were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, bus came for us every day, every morning to pick us up and brought us. And, well, it was upsetting at times. Mm. We didn't stay for Dr. Harbinson's report. We didn't want to hear all that. We left at that time. But every other day we were there and we were uptight, you know, waiting and waiting. It was nearly 3 weeks. It was a long time.
Because he denied everything and it wasn't a given that he was going to be found guilty.
No, it wasn't. So, I mean, we didn't know till the very last day.
Mm.
Even though we had a feeling, you know, that it was going to work out well. But you never know. You never know till the end.
And is that a cause for celebration? Or how do you feel 20 years after you've lost your sister, your lovely sister, and eventually somebody has been held responsible for it, been found guilty of the murder?
Well, it's good for to get someone, because they can't do it to anyone else then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great, really.
What was the atmosphere like in the courtroom?
Oh, it was amazing. An awful lot of crying from everyone, guards, detectives, the bus driver, everybody.
Right.
It was very emotional altogether because a lot of the older guards that were retired and that came back for the the verdict in that.
Okay.
You know, it was very good.
I have one more question I want to ask you,
that's
Barbara,
all right.
But I have to take a quick commercial break. So
okay.
Just stay with me on that and we'll talk to you a little bit more after this. So Barbara Turner is with us. We're talking about her sister, Phyllis Murphy, who was murdered by John Crear back in 1979. And he wasn't convicted of her murder until 2002. Found guilty, but probably due for release sometime soon, Barbara.
I really haven't heard anything, but I'm sure he must be nearly due to be released. I mean, he's, going on 19 years in jail now, so.
Yeah.
I don't think too much about
that
not? Part.
No. Do you know what I was thinking? Because it's a part of a documentary, and you're featured in the documentary tomorrow night on TG Car, Morrow in Our Mask, which is Murder in Our Midst, which probably says it all, really. So it's on tomorrow night on TG Car. I was thinking about his family. And, you know.
There's no winners in a case like that.
No.
I mean, they have to live with it, you know, as well. And.
Yeah, very sad, isn't it?
It's a sad situation all over, you know.
There's a monument to her up on the Sally Gap where body was found. And is there a bench somewhere for her, or did I see?
Yeah, down St. Bridget's Well.
Ah, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, Patrick got that specially made.
Ah.
And
it's lovely down there.
Because we loved St. Bridget's Well, as you know.
Yeah.
That was our seaside.
As I used to say about in Kildare Town, even the fish didn't need to know to swim. There was so little water. So that's lovely. That's lovely. And there's a lovely scene where Finbar MacPaul, the man who kept those vital samples, is up visiting the memorial up in Sally Gap.
Yeah, because he goes up there all the time.
Yeah.
He's so good. Mm. He goes up and he brings flowers and he's amazing.
Yeah.
All the guards, I have to say, are amazing. And they looked after us so well during the trial and everything. They were great.
And people will see tomorrow night, we mentioned Kevin Doran earlier on, and there's sort of like nearly, it's a twist that would be in a drama, isn't it? I'll let them tune in to see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Barbara, thanks so much for coming up from Kildare.
You're very welcome. Yeah.